Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I mean, straight down onto Bakuda. Straight down onto Bakuda's knee, right? Like,
yeah, he's 13 million feet shorter, so it's not even
a significant close. Height gap. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you go on Tinder, you post 27 million feet tall. No, to swipe right. Come on.
No, man.
So he's punching up his profile. You say 35, 40 million 30, in heels. 38 Come million. On. Yeah. My name's Ethan. This is a podcast.
I at the 11th hour just punched over my microphone like a fucking amateur.
well, we're here. Hi.
I'll have you guys know that the L in LGBT is for lore boys, and the B is for both bribes and Bionicle. I am your prototype robot, Peter O'Donoghue, and I am joined by...
My name's Ethan. The G is for great show.
And my name's James, and nothing else. Just
the
hey.
T is for trans lives matter.
Yes, yeah, that one's unchanged. It is Loreboy's great show Bionicle trans lives matter. That's it. It's getting a little into the weeds, but whatever. People understand it. So, other than the fact that 2 years hence we are doing a Bionicle episode, another big announcement is that not at time of recording, but at of time of release, we, thanks to you absolute lunatics out there, have cleared 500,000 downloads on the Loreboys podcast. So give yourself a little pat on the back there. And as a thank you, for the next 2 weeks until May 18th, 2022, over on our merch store, if you use code LOREBOY50, it is 50% off everything on the store, no matter what you want.
Is there an S on the end of that, Pete, or just LOREBOY50?
It is LOREBOY50 because there was a character limit.
Got it.
So yeah, LOREBOY50 until May 18th, 2022, 50% off anything you want there. Thank you guys so much. If you've been waiting for prices to drop or you just wanted a code or anything like that, now's the time to do it. And then, yeah, that's it.
And it's easy to remember because it's Loreboy singular, and then it's 50 10,000,
yeah,
which is the number that we've reached.
Yeah, we hit the 50, so we have a 50% off, and then whenever we hit a million, it'll just be 100%. Everything will be 100% of their actual costs. So yeah,
exactly. All the merch is free for the duration of the episode. So 90 minutes, get it while it's hot.
Jimmy was saying the opposite. Like we're scaling towards full price.
Yes.
I see. Yeah. Oh, that's a much more savvy business move. Now I understand.
Pete's treasurer? Oh no.
Yeah. it's like, guys, I mail you your magic beans every month. Twice a month, right? It's like I send you your Patreon beans, and then I send you your ad beans, and like that's it. You get your payout.
Yeah, but I had to trade you my prize winning cow.
Yeah. Well, I mean that's the deal we made. You guys didn't want to make a shared bank account, so I just handled the whole thing. Yeah. So anyway, thank you guys for everything. Honestly, it's crazy. Anyway, the link is for merch is in the description of this episode, or if you want to type it in manually, it is theloreboys.creator-spring.com. I have not bought a custom URL yet, so.
One of these
regardless
days.
Yeah,
so maybe by the time this episode comes out or by the time you're listening to this episode, we will have a custom URL, but the slug should work.
Dead link to buy t-shirts.
I think the slug would work anyway, but
yeah it does. So yeah, like I said, it's been several hot minutes since we last did an episode on Bionicle. I think 2.5 years, actually. But it ended up being one of our most requested follow-ups. Mm-hmm. So after several years of support from patron Jesterful and backup from fresher-faced patron Sarah, I figured it is time, quote, Rafiki, Baboon with Scepter, 1994.
It is time. I had to take those words apart and put them back together like a Bionicle to figure that out for a second. Yeah.
This was after you left and I was a little spicy and I was just like, I'm just going to put in some fucking nonsense here.
So for those who aren't in the Discord, it was a really nice day yesterday and I was walking down the street. I had just enjoyed a couple beers at the park with my dog, and I'm walking to go home, and I run into Pete, who is leaving his place, going out to get beer, and then which led to a couple drinks between friends. And so if this episode sucks, it's either mine or Pete's fault, or both of ours.
It's mutual, except like we discussed, you were responsible, and we're like, I gotta go, you for the people, dude.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're right. And then you left and went to a bar, and then I, you know, sat inside on a sunny day and wrote about Lego. So yeah, if you'd like to join the likes of those two, just like David, Korath31, and Chris K did this week, head over to patreon.com/theloreboys, and you can join up on our Patreon. There's bonus content, bonus audio every week, the scripts go up, there's a 10% off code that's permanent for our merch store, everything like that, and also, like, obviously you support the shit out of us, and it's very cool. And yeah, the patrons were definitely stacking paper this week. That was crazy to get all those emails, like, Tuesday afternoon, yeah. Like, oh, all right, gotta write this down.
Yeah, you guys are beautiful.
So, Bonkle, after what I've read, I have to say, I was not familiar with this at all. I was no longer familiar with Bionicle. I had a bunch of them growing up, and I read the monthly DC comics that would come with Lego Magazine every month. Right up until the movie came out, the first movie, and it made the green one, Leewa, talk like he had brain damage, and he was my favorite character, so I stopped reading the comics. Because they changed the character in the comics from, like... Like, he had been infected by whatever, like, a parasitic mask at one point, had to overcome that. Like, he had a very good character, and he was the Toa of Air, and then he had a really interesting kind of collaboration with Gally, the Toa of Water, and I liked that whole thing. But then when the movie came out, and he was just, like, basically talked like Jar Jar Binks, I was just like, I'm fucking done with this shit. A lot has changed since then, so I guess, guys, you're probably not familiar with Bionicle, but did you have them? Remind the audience, did you have a Lego?
I had a green one and a black one.
Okay.
I want to say my brother had the red one and I had the brown one, but it's been so long, I really can't quite remember.
The brown one had an upside-down body, so he kicked instead of karate chopped. I remember that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah, so I had those from the last episode. I remembered the word Toa. You're throwing it around like people should know what it is. I remember a giant crab, and that's about it.
I remember a guy riding a meteor down to, like, land on a beach or something.
It was the art, now that you mentioned.
Yeah. Close, like a... yeah. They came in tubes, so quick real-world history recap. Bionicle was created as a way to save the Lego brand in the 90s. And again, like, sorry if I said this years ago, I just forgot. I find it's fucking insane that, like, a ubiquitous brand like fucking Lego was having a bad decade. And they were just like, oh God, we need an idea.
Especially the 90s, because it's like, that's like when we were growing up and it felt like everybody, like, Lego was the fucking rage, man. Although, to be fair, I just had like two massive boxes of Lego. So, like, maybe they just, like, sold at too low a cost at someone, because it's fucking expensive now.
Oh, they certainly fixed that problem if they had.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So maybe like early 90s, late 80s, they were just like selling it too cheap, and people just like had so many bricks. It's like, yeah, you just, like, as a kid, I wasn't that into the follow the instructions game. I was into the, I'm just going to put bricks together until I build the camel that I've always wanted to have.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So, like, all I needed was just two bins of, like, miscellaneous Legos, right?
Yeah.
I was looking into it now, and to get into it now, I think, like, the best option is, like, there's a $100 starter set that you can build, like, 8 different things with. So you, at least it feels like you're getting, like, $15 value for every build or whatever, because if you want to build anything, it's, like, $400 now.
But that's 8 suggested servings, right? It's fucking Lego. Like, you can do anything you want with it.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah.
But I do really enjoy, like, having a huge set. Sitting down, like, I remember, like, Christmas mornings, just going page by page and putting it together and just following the instructions. I like that part too.
Now, I'm 100% for that. I would never get Lego to just try and put something together. I am not, like, visual enough to be able to do it. Right. And my imagination's no longer there that I could pretend this, like, rough sphere of Lego is a camel. You know what I mean? So Like, I would definitely follow the instructions down. I would be really interested. But like you say, Jamie, like, it's prohibitively expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they saw Warhammer and they were just like, no, we can do better. And tripled the price, basically.
I still have these feelings, or like these memories of like, whenever you have like this one like big section that has to connect to another section, and you like read through it and it doesn't really tell you anything too specifically. It's all pictures, and somehow you like put it on backwards or something. Like, you put it like indented out one on this side when it should have been on this side, and the whole thing doesn't fit together now. So you have to take that whole thing fucking apart and put it all the way back together. And it's frustrating, but it's fun. And I
know the last time I saw Lego sets in store was like a month and a half ago. I was at Toys R Us with my buddy Kyle because he wanted to get like a Spawn figure for his younger brother's birthday. Nice. And I remember one time we were at our other friend Adrian's house, and he had one of the spaceships from the Star Wars prequels. I can't remember. I don't know which one it is. It's the white one. I know it's got like an A-shape wing. It carried a bunch of guys on it. Anyway, none of us know what the fuck that is. Someone will know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we have like people with Star Wars names in the Discord that'll
figure it out. Yeah, I know. Kyle had picked it up with one hand, and he saw one piece was loose, and he tried to fix it with the same hand, but of course, naturally, it just broke off. And I remember watching this spaceship that was probably made of like 800 pieces hit the kitchen table and atomize it. Single piece came apart. every single one.
Yeah.
I liked Kinects too. Kinects is good.
I still have Kinects in my mom's basement, actually. I saw it last week when I was there.
Where Adrian had dipped that Y-wing bomber or whatever into the River Styx, that one piece that he'd been holding.
Of course, yes.
I was trying to fix, right?
Yes, exactly. Very cool. So anyway, Christian Faber was a man working for Lego, and he came up with the idea of building a character instead of a vehicle when working with the within the Lego Technic line. I had heard definitely said, and I'm going to repeat, that he came up with the idea of Bionicle when he was sick, because he imagined a tiny warrior inside the pills that he was taking, which is why the Bionicles came in capsules.
I remember
that. Like, the whole thing, he was just like...
Teaching kids to think drugs are cool.
Yeah, exactly.
That was Lego's endgame.
Christian Faber is also indirectly, due to this, responsible for the opioid crisis by teaching by teaching people that, obviously...
You rearrange the letters of Christian Faber, it spells Ronald Reagan. So
I thought you were going to do, like, Big Pharma, but with an F.
Yeah. What's his TOA? The ability to lean back 45 degrees without falling over while still looking asleep? Like...
Yes.
Yeah, his weakness is a slight incline.
Yeah. Technic, I guess, for the uninformed, was like a lot of Lego pieces that were like struts and pegs and whatnot. So you would build you would build vehicles and machines and whatnot, opposed to the regular blocks. And then he would put the and then he had the idea to have them as characters, or basically like a build your own action figure, right?
Action figure, like, you put it together, and then like it, like Pete kind of described one, the brown one, I guess, had that kicking motion, but a lot of them had like a chopping motion, and it was like a little gear on its back that you spun like in two directions that would make it like chop chop chop.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're really cool, you get your dad to put the power drill right up next to it and.
Alistair Swinnerton.
Or mom. Sorry, or mom.
Or yeah, that's true. Yeah. We're progressive here.
Or a drill.
Both your moms hook a drill up to your Bionicle. It's all fine.
Yeah.
So Alistair Swinnerton rewrote the concept at some point and presented it to Lego. And I only mentioned him because his name is hilarious. Like, Alistair Swinnerton sounds like a made-up British baron who would be the stuffy villain in, like, a children's cartoon.
It's someone from Harry Potter, for sure.
Alistair Swinnerton, of course.
Yeah, for sure. That was the wizard that invented the taking a shit on the floor and then using a spell to make it disappear.
Right. Yes. Because Hogwarts doesn't have like plumbing,
or didn't have plumbing before conventional plumbing was invented. J.K. Rowling said they used to just go wherever and magic it away.
I thought that was very cool. I thought that was a prank at first when you said it, like the burning a bag. But I was like, wait, no. Then the poop's just gone. Yeah. That's not a very good prank.
It's a movie with Jack Black where they invent a wizard spray that makes
envy.
Yeah, with Christopher Walken.
Yeah. It's a great fucking movie. It's very stupid.
One person who listens to this show will get that reference.
It's a very stupid movie. So I guess, which is kind of funny, you make the comparison to like explaining why Hogwarts didn't have plumbing properly. Decades later, anonymous weirdos wrote some real Bionicle shit. They put in like the crazy creation myth history, which is what we're going over now, in the same way that I guess J.K. Rowling felt the need to explain literally everything in the backstory of Halo. Some people did that for Bionicle, but I haven't seen the new movies, the Grimbo Gramblow Escapes from Grindelwald or some shit, the Fantastic Beast movies. I'm assuming the Bionicle stuff is better.
Alistair Swindle Titty. Escape from Hogwarts.
Yeah. one quick warning for this episode. I would like to ask our listeners not to take drinks, do shots, or crack cold ones with the lads during this episode, as it is entirely cover to cover about ancient robots. So please finish your drink now and do not get another one until we're done. don't do it. And thank you. I will not be responsible for another death.
Did we used to finish our drink or just take a drink? I guess it depends on the episode, probably.
Who knows?
Yeah. I think might have been finish your drink very early on, actually, but that was irresponsible.
I think I've definitely done it. I'll take a sip now, but I'll sip throughout, I think, because at this age is a little much.
I will take a sip as well, so just very quickly here. Carlsberg, delicious. Almost as good as Bionicle Lore, which we will not continue.
We're not sponsored, don't tell them.
Non-denominational beer.
Non-denominational beer, but they are the pioneers of purity, which sounds dangerous. So
that does.
Double the fuck.
And they're German beer? They're Danish. I think they're a Danish beer.
I'll check afterwards. So we are going to begin with the Great Beings. This is the name given to a group of scientists on the planet Spherus Magna, who could be compared to the philosopher kings of our time, so the elite thinkers like Aristotle or Ben Shapiris, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who exactly they were, and Lego, which this is a pretty cool creative decision, that like came top down somehow. There's like one whatever like desiccated suit vampire at Lego that at the time was just like, no, this is going to be neat. Lego forbid writers and artists from describing or drawing the Great Beings while developing the backstory of the Bionicle universe, and that's really, really cool because we talk on the bonus episode about like creation myths, and like I'll say here that like stuff like Halo that I've done episodes of have like something called lore bloat where they just fucking explain everything, or of course like Harry Potter that we just mentioned. The fact that there is still some mystery left and that was just like no, let them guess was like part of the creation myth of Bionicle, I think is really, really cool.
I thought
artwork I saw, they're always kind of like silhouetted in robes, basically. That's it.
I thought you meant when they couldn't draw or describe it, that they made the writer's room just only use Lego to express ideas.
No, could take it out of the box there, Jim. Come on.
Yeah.
I think it would be a funny idea. Know.
Could I just write it down, please? No, said Alistair Swinnerton.
I mean, it's really cool. And like Pete said, we do talk a bit about creation myths on the bonus episode, but I do love I think one of the hardest things to do in fiction is to kind of establish that different people, it's something that kind of relates to Star Wars too, where a planet in Star Wars is like the desert planet and there's no diversity, right? There's the jungle planet, there's the desert planet. It's kind of the same with a lot of like myths or religions in fiction where it's like, there's an established God and that's the only one that everyone believes in, right? Like everyone either like adapts or reacts to that. Whereas like in real life, like Native Americans, for example, like every single tribe had their own creation myth. A lot of them overlapped and intersected and shared stories and traded stories. Like,
yeah.
In it's D&D, it's so hard. Yeah.
You got Church of the Silver Flame. You've got, that's the only one I know. There's other ones.
Good try. All right, good.
Even in D&D, it's like it's an established pantheon. And like there are like expansions that have been done for D&D where it's, they had the Far East or whatever, or the Spelljammer, when Spelljammer, your space gods are different than your earth gods, basically.
Right.
But it's still kind of these very like rigid pantheons where it's like there's no... it's really hard in fiction to establish different creation myths coming from things. So I think like forcibly keeping it abstract helps with that, right? Where it's just, it's harder to say somebody is wrong for having an idea because it's undefined, right? So
yeah. And I really, really like that. It was like this, I guess enforced flexibility on the writers. And they were just like, leave it like that for everyone else. Like, leave the beginning of time as a blank slate for whoever wants to write about these robots.
Basically. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which is really cool. This whole thing was really cool, which, like I said, I was not expecting, because it's been a long time. I can't remember why I didn't like researching Bionicle years ago, but like doing it now was fucking great. It's a great idea, and I'm sorry it took me so long.
They gave us all the pieces, and they let us put it together ourselves, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I remember really liking listening to the episode where we talked about Bionicle and wanting you to do another Bionicle episode as well for a long time. And it's funny, me and Pete talked about this before the show started, but I was thinking about doing a Bionicle episode and like going back and listening to your old ones to see what you talked about. And that's the only reason why I probably didn't do one like last week, was because I didn't have the time to go. I didn't feel like I had the time to go back and listen to the first Bionicle.
You don't like listening to us anyway.
It was faded.
I don't.
you said it in the past, and even during episodes, you don't like when we talk and you're not talking, but yeah.
No. Yeah. I mean, I don't think the listeners do either, but here we are. Yeah.
They just listened to get the sale codes, basically, at the top of the show. They're like, fuck these nerds. So this might be Loreboy's canon. I guess it's like real world canon, where I'm kind of implanting thoughts in like the Danish executive that definitely told top down not to describe them. I like to think that the great beings are like in universe blank slates for the kids who are building Lego in the first place, because you would never know. Like, every kid who has a Lego set is anonymous as far as the executives are concerned, and like kind of canonizing the anonymity of the creators is on brand, or at least that's how that's how I saw it. Right?
It's Lego canon is Loreboy's canon is Little Boy canon, I guess.
Yeah, Little Boy canon sounds like a pretty okay like country song. Like, if you think about it.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
Can we call us, we could just be the Little Boys from now on. That could be fun. Yeah.
little lore boys here.
Coming at you today, day Bionicle found a cordon and going to take Christo in a spaceship.
Yeah, just like tripping over our own breath is how we're going to do the episode going on right now.
That'll be tired for a whole hour, so we can do it in our own voices. I'll fix it in post, and
movie magic, dude. Cool. Yeah. Fix it in comp. So the great beings, like gamers, rose up from the various tribes of Agori, which were kind of a naturally evolving race of mechanical people, and then they became the ruling class of the planet just through their just like sheer force of will to desire, their desire to explore, study, and invent. The Agori, they're hard to describe. If you guys look at the second spoiler photo in the Loreboys chat, the first one is the planet, so you can see what Spherus Magna looks like.
Okay.
The Agori,
like Earth, but half water. It looks a little like the yin yang.
Yeah.
But water and Earth.
Yeah, it's one continent, so it's like Pangaea as well, or older like singular continents that have like existed throughout Earth's life cycle.
All the cool life grew on our planet.
Mm-hmm. Pangaea, yeah, that's where it's like the first dinosaurs and big crocodiles and other weird shit.
Yeah.
And then the second photo, you can see the Agori themselves, which seem to have been released as a set. There are color-coded, elementally themed tribes, just like all of Bionicle. Basically.
We for sure had the red one, because I remember that plastic flame that was on the end of the hand there. That pattern, it's like burned into my childhood.
Yeah, so it's elementally themed, like Pete said. So we have red for the element of fire, green for the element of claw, and black for the element of cyber knife.
Yes.
Naturally.
But of course, cyber knife is like AU on the periodic table because it's based off the Latin.
The Latin, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Naturally. So the great beings are very likely robotic. If I want to like my own head canon, they're definitely robotic because they probably came from like various tribes. So they're all various colors. So there's like a cyber knife great one and you know, a claw great one and all that, or great being rather. So they rose up politically through like as tribal society became more complex, basically.
We could say so we've established that any little boy with his head full of dreams out there can create their own creation myth, but we can also establish that it'd be really stupid if they came out of like a primordial ooze of claw, right?
Yes.
Like the primordial soup of the claw element would be done. Little Timmy, okay.
I was looking online because I'm like, how much would it be to get into the Bionicles? Some of them are still only like $10. You can buy some Bionicles for $10. There's others for like $120, but not so cost prohibitive. Lego's like you can get in easy on the Bionicles. There's not a lot of pieces, I guess, but
yeah, it's less. If your enjoyment comes from the building, I feel like this is building light and then imagination heavy, and that you're playing with toys is the fun of the Bionicle.
Yeah. That's definitely what I did. I created my own stories, which is like the first time I ever hated watching a movie that wasn't as good as the one I'd been imagining in my bedroom for 10 years was when I saw the first Bionicle movie.
Yeah.
That's not what his voice sounds like. Oh, yeah. It's like they gave Leewa brain damage. No. Some kind of other spirit did exist within the planet itself called Annona. She named herself and is singular.
A kindly grandmother.
Yeah, it's the old Italian lady. That's why you've got like the crust on the mantle, and then it's all just like liquid pasta getting around.
Just gnocchi.
At the center.
I have not eaten since breakfast, and I'm liquid pasta. I'm like, I'll eat it. I'll eat that blender pasta. Thank you.
I'll eat that blender pasta. Don't threaten me with a good time, maybe. So, Annona at some point had tried to manipulate the great beings, but she gave up because she found their minds too alien. The great beings, however, would retain their connection to her and started to base their inventions off of her dreams that they were interpreting. So they were like interpreting the dreams, I guess, of the soul of the planet itself in some capacity. Because she induced stasis when she was like, well, I can't eat these people's dreams because they're too crazy. I'm going to hit it and then check in 10,000 years, basically.
Cool.
Yeah.
See if they make more sense after a nap.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this is too complex right now. And just a little drained, you know? Yeah. I've been drinking in the sun with Jamie all day. And frankly, I just go to sleep it off.
Ethan had a pre-show nap, actually. Or did you? Did you make it down?
So I did, but it was much shorter than I want because it was like right as I was falling asleep, my brother called me, and then he was bringing by an air conditioner, you know, can't fault him for bringing me a free air conditioner. And then he called me again to invite me to Mother's Day dinner this Sunday with my mom. So he bookended my nap. He really like he time gated me there.
Brothers are good for that, yeah.
Where was I here? Right. So the too weird was not the case for all of the Agori. It seems that she can get into the minds of some of the other tribes or some of the less ascended tribes of robots on the planet.
So there's the Bionicles have formed from the elemental gods or whatever. And they interpreted dreams?
Not super clear. Okay. The tribes seem to have existed on the planet already, evolving naturally on like a mechanical planet. There is some kind of spirit within it called Annona. And then the great beings are basically like an intellectual political class. They are the philosopher kings, but just like taken to an extreme.
Oh, okay. But they're on the planet. Sorry. I had them as like space beings. Like
no, I'm
the
sorry.
Planet, but
we were talking about the singular planet that I mentioned earlier, which is called Spherus Magna, is everything's there with the singular continent, the picture in chat there. Yeah.
Perfect.
And she seems to be like, whether she's an AI referred to as a spirit, which is a thing that we'll cover later, is who knows? She's there and she is somehow getting like Bluetooth connections to other Agori's dreams.
And the tribes developed because they all had clear masks at first. So if you're around rocks a lot, it got brown and rocks and dirt. Or if you're in fire, the clear mask became red.
Yeah.
If you're in blended gnocchi with marinara sauce, you're red.
Yes.
You know, all those. You're like maybe a squid risotto, you come out as blue. And
Yeah. It's like very pasta heavy, which is interesting, but like it kind of suits the Lego Technic. Like pegs are like little straight macaronis, right? That you would connect your pieces with. So it's all very, it all makes a lot of sense.
I'll have to make you guys my favorite dish sometime. It's called Flamin' Hot Risotto, and it's very good.
Yeah. Doesn't involve Cheetos or Bionicle, Jamie.
No comment. You can't give away an old family recipe on air like that. Yep. Come on.
Can't do it.
Jamie's grandmother's 102, just like rolling her own Bionicles with like a little crank thing.
She's got Flamin' Hot Doritos growing off Flamin' Hot Dorito plants all over the kitchen.
Of course.
She's picking the freshest ones for her sauce.
She wears the same cool glasses as that Cheeto guy.
And I mean, she comes from a background in rich culinary delights, Scotland, of course, the Scottish, known for their...
Oh, yeah.
I just had a memory of playing Chester Cheeto game on Sega Genesis. And it was probably awful, but I remember having a really good time with it at the age of 5. Yeah.
Chester Cheeto lore went.
Yeah,
we should.
I think I legitimately saw that in chat, so you could like tax write off that one as a request if you could.
Okay, cool.
I think so.
Pepsi Man.
Which is what we do. We write off your requests on our taxes, where it's like when I tell Revenue Quebec like what I've been doing, it's just like I need to this Patreon tier here. Talked about Lego, and the government will, of course, it's a business expense.
I'm late on my taxes. Someone called the police, tried to get them done today, and I don't have all my info I need. So,
Someone
called. Did you say someone? Okay, I thought weren't sure if you said someone called the police or someone called the police.
No, like, yeah.
Did your neighbor see you not file and decide to call the cops on you?
No, I'm saying other good citizens should call the police on me now. Yeah.
I mean, if you're owed a refund, you're doing the government a favor, dude.
Yeah, I'm giving them a loan. I'm not filing my taxes late. I'm giving the government a loan.
Yeah, come on.
That's a move right there.
Recession right now, okay? Jesus.
Right, so anyway, it wasn't the case for all of the Agori that they could resist Anona's, like, mind control, basically. At one point, she began feeding off the dreams of the Iron Tribe in an event called the Dreaming Plague, which is very crazy. Some excellent trivia I found on the wiki states that no Agori apart from Samad knows Anona by name, though Greg has suggested there may be legends of her.
You gotta love the random fan insert name in the... In the canon there, right? Like,
There's another one says...
Make a wish kid who was like, I want to be in Bionicle. And they're like, all right, Greg.
Another says that Greg has stated that Anona was based off of Hungarian folklore, which is not grammatically correct. So I don't know what language the wiki was written in before I got the English version.
Translated back.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously for mystery reasons, I did not try and find out who Greg is. I don't know if there's a Greg who was just a writer for one of the comics or something. Does not matter. This is our ticket here on the show now to speculate wildly for the rest of the episode.
Yeah. Greg says canon, man.
Yeah. Anona has various other powers. She can change the climate. In her encounter with Samad, who I mentioned just before, she changed her surroundings from intensely cold to intensely hot after consuming all of the dreams of the Skakti, which are another mechanical race that were on Sphera Magna, and they were actually released as sets called the Piraka. They're kind of like a more barbaric, kind of like ogre or like reptilian robot set. I personally never had any of them, but I saw my buddy's younger brother had one. So this is kind of like after I had stopped buying my own Bonkle. Obviously, like the younger boys that I knew were still getting the newer ones, and I remember seeing they had like a rubbery, like skin that like form fitted over the robot that you would build. It's kind of a neat idea, but like it was odd.
Pete's going to friends' houses playing with their little brothers and their rubbers.
Uh-oh. If you want to see some cringe that is so volatile it could melt steel beams, you need to look at some of the like early 2000s Bionicle commercials, by the way. There is the infamous All-American Rejects Move Along Bionicle video where they have that in the trailer. And thankfully for early pop punk, I looked it up. None of those guys are rapists.
Hey, good for them.
Good for them.
Yeah, Oliver, they're still active too.
Rise above.
Yeah,
not rise against.
they're hitting the bare minimum as humans in that.
Yeah, cleared it. He went the lowest hurdle. Pop punk, not a sex pest.
Yeah.
And then there is the Piraka trailer itself, which shows them all as like a bunch of cool dudes with, like, at this point, even like in 2006. like 90s batitude. They were like living, they like, or they're all hanging out in like this aluminum warehouse with like fitness equipment in it. Like you can imagine the setting that I'm like putting up here. And also the camera zooms in on all their faces, and they of course have big chins and big teeth because that's what the action figure looks like. And it'll like freeze frame and give you the goofy Bionicle name like Vecton or whatever, then his nickname on the crew is like the Trigger or the Snake or whatever. It's so fucking funny because it's like the bad Suicide Squad basically ripped off the Paraka Bionicle commercial with like the Will Smith and the Margot Robbie fucking title cards where it's just like all of that shit. So, back to Inanna. She can also share her powers with the various tribes of Sirius Magna. She gave psychic abilities to all of the female Skrull, who I could not find pictures of, so I don't think they came out as toys. And Greg didn't mention anything, either. So.
Greg, come on.
Greg, we need answers, Greg.
After getting their powers, the female Skrull were all kicked out of their like tribal society and incorrectly believed that Agnonce, who was a great being, had given them their powers. The entire like army, they're called the Sisters of Skrull, went on like this pilgrimage or like a crusade, basically. They wanted to kidnap Agnonce and then have him make them all more powerful. In the end, though, Inanna had, like, psychically captured them and stripped them of free will and kind of just had them as mindless psychic slaves.
What was that guy's name? Agnonce? Agnonce?
It's, Agnonce,
yeah. If you ask me.
Sorry?
It was Agnonce, if you ask me.
It is, yeah. And blame Greg, as with everything. It is A-G-N-O-N-C-E. It's either Agnonce.
I like the confusion that because he's like godlike, like, oh, I'm agnostic. Oh, you believe in Agnonce? No, I'm agnostic.
I believe that Agnonce may be the savior. I'm just not convinced that he is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. for me, like, if I die and standing before me and walking me down the beach is Greg, I'll be very pleased.
Greg's a real god. Let's be real here.
Yeah.
I died for our sins, okay? Yeah. We might be judged by Greg.
The great beings created to continue to create mechanical marvels based inside their base in the Valley of the Maze, which astonished the Aghori. So they're continuing to, they still have their link to Inanna's dreams and are just like me creating the craziest technology ever. Right.
Okay, I'm gonna slow you down a bit because the names are really bogging me down here.
Yeah.
So we have the. So it seems like the Nonna, the kindly Nonna making spaghetti, is evil. Is that what I'm getting at this point? Stripping people of their free will and stuff, typically bad, right?
Yeah, it is. The way it's written of is that it's much more of like a predator prey relationship. It seems because she is feeding on dreams. Right?
Okay.
In that the Nonna is not strictly evil for consuming spaghetti, despite the perspective of the spaghetti being legitimate, right?
Stripping of free will or guidance from a god.
Exactly.
Yeah. Tomato, right? Potato.
Yeah.
So, like, all we've had so far is kind of snapshots of the Nonna basically eating all of the people's dreams, essentially, and just, like, turning them into kind of, like, husk people, robots, if you will.
Yeah, and then the great beings themselves could not be taken over, but they retain their link and are using her dreams to make mechanical marvels to basically wow the savages that are out there having their dreams stolen by, I guess, like the soul of the planet, is from what I understood.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. She's eating their dreams, whether evil or not, it's hard to tell. And they're like, damn, you're not dreaming of not wearing pants during your high school math test anymore? Well, yeah. Here's the friggin' Eiffel Tower. Dream of that, baby.
Yeah. Yes, all of the robots are just like, it's like the mechanical marvel of just like showing up to a job interview with no teeth. And it's wow, I can't believe it.
They showed up to their math test instead of not having pants. They forgot to attach their legs that morning. Very embarrassing.
Of course.
I had a school dream last night where it was weird. It was like a sex dream, and I was with this girl, and we're trying to go find a place to be alone together. But I was in my elementary school, and every place we went, there was just tons of people.
Extremely weird.
It's so weird. Yeah.
Now, dreams are weird, who's learning about all the exotic Legos that the little boys are playing with? Christ.
The girl was
his friends' little brothers and asked them for a call name while out of the that she's cool trying to bang.
Yeah, I used a bionicle as a rubber in the bathroom just, of my elementary school.
The bionicle tube, right? You use the capsule.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, the dreams often have the same few layouts. It's like this old house I lived in, elementary school, high school, university, all these places where the maps are really good in your brain because you spend so much time there, I guess. So, yeah. And sometimes in Dust 2 and Counter-Strike. I'm there.
It's a world one, dude.
Yeah.
I had a dream last week. It was so funny. I had this problem at work where effects tasks I was scheduling were not ending up in the artist's, like, ledger, basically, so that he could clock out and just like prove to HR that he'd been doing shit.
Just a work stress dream, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but I had a dream. I could not fucking fix it. I had a dream about it, and then was just like, I'm just gonna try that thing I dreamt about, and it fucking worked.
Amazing, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Very cool. I'm just on. I'm on the clock, no matter 24 hours. Yeah.
Nice. Pete's feeding off the whatever planet is built around his psyche. He's feeding off the dreams of the people who live there, solving real problems.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So while the great beings were creating machines, this was kind of a funny thing to like explain why everything's a robot. They tried to create organic life, but they weren't very impressed by the results.
It's so squishy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we'll find out more about their experiments and some of the other things they were doing after the break.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you liked the ad. One of the experiments that the great beings had done was simply called the prototype robot. And this is why I've been asking you guys not to drink, because it's been like 38 minutes and you'd be dead at this point. Mm-hmm. The prototype robot was created to find out if the great beings could just overall sustain a large scale machine. So opposed to making phones smaller and then bigger when everybody started just watching porn on them, they were just like, no. We need a 1,000-foot screen. We need a 10,000-foot screen. We need to keep going crazier.
We need a screen so big that it could just be the porn screen. And anybody on Earth at any time doesn't need to use their phone. They just look over at the porn screen because you could see it from everywhere on Earth at all times.
If you had a curved screen that orbited with, the sunset, people could comfortably masturbate at all hours of the day, regardless of hemisphere, right?
When is Earth finally going to have the first pornography viewable by space satellite? You know, like when are we going to be able to, like the Great Wall of China, just look down at Earth and be able to see porn? You
know? Hey, the Incans started with the Nazca lines, right? But they didn't stand the test of time. So, really,
it's like that picture of that porn star whose name I looked up and then fucking forgot, which is too bad because she's hot. It's that "oh fuck, you're gonna make me blank" meme.
Sure.
And it's just you've got Carl Sagan like rotates around the Voyager spacecraft. It's just like, "Oh fuck, you're gonna make me ponder the beauty of this pale blue dot." with the help of smaller robots as well as Agori workers who again were just like wowed by the wonder of science, they put together, and this is fucking ridiculous, and please get your football field to this measurement calculator out, they put together a 27 million foot tall robot.
How wide?
It's humanoid. So I'm not going to have you guys reveal the spoiler yet, but it's basically a bionicle without armor. So very kind of plain, and it is 27 million feet tall.
Oh my God.
I remember reading that and just being like, Greg is definitely an 8-year-old because that number is so big that it means nothing, but so specific it could only have been written by a child.
How many?
I mean, yeah, it's like it's very reaching into space, depending on how big the planet is, right?
Yeah. How tall? I do not know the circumference or the diameter of Sphera Magna. I'm sorry, but yes, 27 million feet.
27 million feet. So if we do 120,000 miles to feet, it might be pretty close. That is how many zeros? Oh my God, zero, zero, zero. There's like 633 million feet in the atmosphere, the furthest atmosphere. So like the absolute stratosphere. So it's still Earth, you know, not in space yet.
But it's gonna be cold. The weather is definitely different.
But that's the top of the exosphere. It's about halfway to the moon.
I remember our atmosphere being like, when you look at the Earth, it's like really deceivingly thin. Like so one of my teachers in university brought out this like big old ball, and he's like, "How big do you think the atmosphere is on this?" And it's probably like, I don't know, like from like 2 feet. 2 feet tall, let's say the ball was. And the credit card was as thick as the atmosphere was all the way around. It's like really, really thin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like if the Earth or if the sun was like a meter, like beach ball.
Yeah.
The Earth would be like a golf ball and it would be a mile away.
Oh, wow. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the scale of the universe is insane. Mind-boggling.
The scale of this robot, also insane.
Pretty big.
27 million feet. The robot, however, was unstable, and shortly after being powered up, it just exploded in an area called the Great Barren. I don't know if they were like atomic tests in the Nevada desert, like just in case testing it there, or the Great Barren is like a postscript at the end of the report or something like that. So
no, that's the title of that guy with the really weird English name from earlier. He's the Great Barren.
Oh, Alistair Swinner, the Great Baron Alistair Swinnerton.
Yeah.
So unlike we stupid humans, the great beings did not try to repair the robot. Unlike our atomic tests where we just kept fucking going, they saw the destruction that they had wrought on the planet and were just like, cool, yeah, we are not responsible enough for that at all, so we're just not going to do it again. They
How
did
unrealistic,
not...
dude. Come on.
It's like the stupidest part about the 27 million. They just took...
A guy named Greg creating the universe, that I can buy, okay? But man recognizing their hubris and deciding to change their ways? No. I don't think so.
No. But yes, the great beings simply took the L and moved along. The kind of discarded... parts. Oh yeah, they just moved along. All American rejects.
That's why I laughed. Is that why you said it?
Sorry. No.
Move along. You said you would move along.
They simply allowed the planet to reclaim the kind of discarded parts of this robot. So kind of like the end of the Iron Giant, where it just had like its pieces were just embedded in the crust of the Earth and were reclaimed by nature and reclaimed by various tribes of Agori. People would live on different things. They had silly names like Knee Island and Elbow Peak. So they even were just like, Elbow Peak this way.
Yeah. And also Elbow Peak over there. There's two Elbow Peaks.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. This is, and they're both national parks, thanks to Teddy Roosevelt, right?
Weenus Summit.
It's like a Matterhorn. You've got a bunch of like frozen bodies up the steep face of Elbow Peak.
Yeah. Green boots man or whatever, just like frozen to death.
Yeah.
on the side of a elbow.
It's just a green bionicle feet like poking out of the snow.
It's a challenge for all bionicles. You cannot kiss Elbow Peak.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they would have like, instead of like planting a flag, you have to summit it and like kiss the rock at the top of Elbow Peak. Yeah. That's a good one. That'd be a hell of a tourist trap, eh?
Yep.
On Bionicle Planet.
It's not to bring it back to Scotland again, but it's the Blarney Stone, right?
Is the Blarney Stone in Scotland or in Ireland?
I said Scotland, but I'll look it up if you want me to.
Have you been to Scotland? I feel like you went to Scotland.
I've been to Scotland, yes.
I haven't. I'm Scottish. I want to go.
I haven't been to Europe, personally. Damn. Thank God.
The Blarney Stone, the longest running Irish pub in the city of Vancouver. There you go. Oh, it's in Vancouver, actually. No, it's Irish. You're right.
Okay, yeah. I remember seeing, like, I think I saw an episode of like Paddington Bear about it. Where
can you give tongue? Is that like a, would they stop you? They have guards for that?
I think you can normally, but during COVID, they ask you to stop giving tongue. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
There's a mask yeah. on the rock, and you wear a mask, and you have to connect mask to mask.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Snatched the thought from my head, Jeremy. Thank you. Just exactly that image.
he ate your dream, really.
Yeah, he did. I'm more about just like, I am the trout, and Jamie is the slow motion bald eagle, just snatching it straight out of the river.
We've all had that dream.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. And then fix problems at work, right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So eventually a substance called energized protodermis was discovered leaking out of a wellspring on Spherus Magna. To bring it back to a meme, this is the liquid pasta. So the core of the planet is actually something called energized protodermis.
Energized early skin, electric early skin.
Yeah. It's two cool old Italian words slammed together. This is from the old DC comics because the second line of Bionicles, when they had armor and cooler weapons, was because they were all immersed in it by accident. And instead of killing them, it turned them into cooler versions of themselves.
I think I had one of those. I think I line two Bionicle. Yeah. Gotta Google it. Oh, yeah, this is the one I had for sure. I remember this. Box art. I had a green one.
Oh, yeah, me too. He was my favorite.
Yeah.
And they kind of like subtly transformed now that they were upgraded. They all kind of had like a second half mode or like extra tools that they could. I know the red one, you could take off both his swords and clip them into his feet and he would get like a surfboard to surf on lava.
Oh, hell yeah.
Cool. Yeah, which is very radical. Yeah, he'd shred gnar. And that
the green guy, it looks like he gets like something to like roll fabric with, like something you'd see in a textile mill. And it looks like he can grab vines with it.
Cool. Nice. I don't remember that. It's been like 20 years since I played with that toy, but I don't remember the spinning right wheel Bionicle.
It's like prongs. It's like a fork. It's like he was rolling pasta in a fork. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
I don't think he has enough tines there though, but whatever.
Yeah, the little like the grandmother thing. Yeah. Where was I here? Right. So energized protodermis is an old concept they retained. It does exist within the inside of the earth. And again, like kind of the mistranslations that were left behind by Greg. It was described as
I'm just picturing like I don't know, the Dead Sea Scrolls or something, and like signed by Greg at the bottom, you know what I mean?
But like the wiki page that I was on described it as a sapient fluid, which doesn't make sense because it just looks like mercury. If it's sentient, fine. It is like a sentient, like hive mind fluid that lives inside the planet. Cool, but like certainly not sapient because that didn't make any sense because sapient would mean it have to be the shape of a person.
No, isn't sapient? Yeah, sapient is just being wise, like having wisdom. Like sentience is having. No, sentience, so I'm looking at the definition. I'll read it for you.
Yeah.
I'm looking at synonyms, actually.
I found a picture of Greg, too. I put it in the chat for whatever you guys want. But
The definition of sapience is wisdom, sagacity.
Oh, never mind.
Sagacity, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Quality of being sagacious.
Color me Gregged. Oh, he is a real person.
Greg. Yeah, he's got a whole, he has bionicle.fandom.com/wiki/Greg Farshtey.
His name's Greg Farshtey. Can you believe that? He's in the Discord.
Gregory D. Farshtey, and he's employed as the editor-in-chief for the Community Education Direct Division of the LEGO Company.
The way you said Gregory T. Farshtey sounded like a character out of South Park speaking.
Gregory T. Farshtey. This time he's a bionicle. Yeah. Rob Schneider is the stapler.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He wrote 24 out of 28 Bionicle books. So, yeah, he is the lore.
He is the expert.
He is a guy. Yeah, okay, so I can. So, blaming Greg is not just a meme. We've been retroactively doing this correctly.
Yep. We were accurate by mistake. We usually are.
As often as we're not.
But yeah, I want to correct. We're not usually accurate, but usually when we're accurate, it's by mistake. Is what I was trying to say.
Yeah, when we're 24. We're 24 out of 28 accurate when it's mistake.
Yeah.
That's how he's written a book. Yeah.
Yeah.
We run the show. We just do like a full Greg on this one. It's like 24 out of 28. Not bad.
Yeah. Not bad. Not
and
bad.
We won't reduce not that fraction for you. Stop asking.
Yeah.
So the great beings began to experiment with the protodermis and use it as a stabilizing agent for an even larger robot.
Okay. This okay. Now we figured out that they didn't learn from their hubris. They're just like, well, we need to go and find radioactive Earth skin out of the molten crust and use that in our giant death robot.
This one is 40 million feet tall because they were just like, I think the problem was it wasn't tall enough.
Oh my God.
Okay, I did look it up when we were researching the last one. That is the diameter of the Earth. So if his feet were in New Zealand, if his feet were chilling in Bray's kiddie pool, his head would be just up here with us.
Okay, cool. Wow.
In Canada.
Mm-hmm. No, that's not diameter. Isn't diameter just the half of it?
Or no, that's radius.
Radius. Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks for the lesson.
Yeah, glad you jumped in so we could have this teachable moment.
Perfect.
They called this one the Great Spirit Robot after stabilizing his core. Now, this one did not explode. They did learn from their mistakes. The protodermis absolutely did stabilize the core. So
I'm picturing
to them.
There was this construction site with the 27 million foot tall one. You know, there's a big construction site. All the guys are working, and there's like one old guy who's retired and just likes to like hang out. You know, they like to hang out at the construction sites or whatever.
Yeah,
and
like a like, floater outside. Or whatever, right?
It's like, I'm telling you, you need to stabilize the core with some magma. And they're all like, yeah, okay, old man, whatever. Then,
if you guys want to see what the Great Spirit Robot looks like, you can click on the final image in chat.
Okay. Oh my God, he looks like the guy in Jurassic Park who discovered amber.
He looks like Greg Farshtey.
that's true. Not the most recent one.
Okay, he's tall. His like knees are above the clouds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which wow. For 40 million feet tall, I don't think you'd be able to see his head, to be fair. So the scale is like a little weird.
He's got like Iron Man
Iron Giant-esque, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go, I stay, but I couldn't hear him because he was 40 million feet away.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, exactly. I'd already made a decision when 6.5 months later, his advice Ryan finally reached my ears.
I mean, well, no, because he's 40 million feet up, so there's no atmosphere. So
there's no air. You'd never hear him.
Make sound.
Right.
He's like pouring his heart out. So you're just like, oh, I'm so fucking sorry. And Elliot is just like standing there just like, I love you, Mata Nui.
Yeah, yeah. The great pantomime in the sky.
You can't hear robots apologize in space. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Yeah. After the construction of this, one thing that I'm gonna skip over called the Core War occurred. It's just a resource war. This is kind of the least creative thing that I found in the fiction.
I thought no, I saw
people
that. There
was a fight over it.
Yeah. That was an article in a CrossFit magazine I saw, actually.
The Core War?
Yeah.
The
Core War.
Everyone's just doing sit-ups. Nobody really won the war or lost it, to be honest.
Everybody got very jacked and sore, though.
I was like, okay, so the USSR was the first ones to invent the six-pack, but then the United States came out with the eight-pack, right?
Right.
Which, you know, they said proved their genetic superiority, but then... the Russians kind of got those like those ones kind of like down underneath and to either side. They called it the 10-pack, but there's still a lot of dispute on like if it is actually a 10-pack, if those are abdominal muscles.
You know what
or
Pete
not,
calls
right?
those? Pete calls those down there. Pete, do you want to say it?
So it's because it's the only thing I've ever heard. It is the crease between like the muscles you're talking about and like your hip bone. I have only ever heard them referred to as cum gutters.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of names for them.
I think that's the technical scientific term.
That's what the those egghead CIA scientists came up with during the 70s was cum gutters.
I would love if like I'm at the doctor, everything is very like very very professional. It's like, we're gonna check your pulse, we're gonna check your heart, just like we're gonna check some of your cardiovascular health, and then we are going to observe your cum gutters. I'd be like, okay, I see.
I mean, I do like the idea of a doctor taking a stethoscope to like that part of your body and just like listening for something. I don't know.
Yeah, like right above your pants line. Yeah.
Where did you say you got your degree again?
Yep.
No.
The pee-pee's coming in fine. I got. All right.
Yeah.
You check the diploma that's like framed on the wall. It's just like graduated with honors and it's like signed by Greg.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no. So yeah, I'm going to skip over the core war, because while it was not about blasting your abs, it was just like a resource war fought across the entire planet of Spherus Magna over the protodermis, basically.
We're calling it the Boer War. And not the Boer War that Winston Churchill fought in, but like the boring war.
The boring one, correct. Yeah. It's all the current wars in the Middle East, all rolled into one. It's the Gears of War fought, like fighting over emulsion, the Pendulum Wars, it's all that. You heard it 1,000 times before. It was the low point in the research, so we just leave it behind. You know what happened. The Spirit Robot was created to eventually fix the planet, as both the war and the protodermis were destroying it from the inside out. And they also created an arc-like space station called the Red Star, which it's kind of funny we're talking about the Soviets, because they'd call it that. which was a space station intended to reseed the planet with life when they figured it was inevitably be destroyed.
Okay.
The Red Star appears to have had a kind of issues of its own. It, at some point, got trapped in a pocket dimension called the City of Silver, which is crazy.
Cool.
And it also lost the ability to send life back down to the planet. So it stopped. Its like main function kind of broke down at one point. The basic AI that governed the robots on board also lacked empathy, and like way, way, way in the future, when the Toa, who are the Bionicle toys that we all played with, eventually reached to the Red Star, the kind of like janitor robots that have been piloting it the whole time, like didn't really understand what the fuck was going on and just tried to kill them.
I mean, it's an answer.
Yeah. It was their default. It's just like program directive, defend Red Star. And then they did not understand when like the main characters of the plot showed up, so they tried to kill them.
Okay. Well, yeah, thank God you're just henchmen. We don't have to feel bad.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Said the protagonist.
Unnamed goons staffed the Red Star.
Oh, no. Wait for my scythe.
Before the end of the Core War, the Great Spirit Robot, now called Mata Nui, after its main AI, and Mata Nui is definitely a familiar name for anybody who's a fan of Bionicle or the old episode, because the older Bionicles believed him to be a god, when in reality he was a complex AI installed in a 40 million foot tall robot.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. I mean, I see why, you know, some people would think he's a god.
Yeah.
40 million feet tall. Hard to argue.
Yeah.
You know what, usually taller people are more right, too, I've noticed.
Yeah. I mean, as the tallest one on the podcast, I'm inclined to agree. So. I'm amazed that you, a short king, got that right. But
hey, I'm right half the time, okay? I'm average, man.
I'm tall half the time and I'm short half the time. I'm short. To have the people I meet, I'm tall.
short clock is tall twice a day.
That's very good.
That's a slogan for a t-shirt.
Yeah. 50% off, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
So Mata Nui was launched into space to study other planets, so that when he returned to what was assumed to be a destroyed Spherus Magna, he could improve the planet. So they made a 40 million foot tall robot whose entire purpose was basically to commit like IP theft throughout the galaxy.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what he went out. When required to land on a planet and observe the native life to not like disturb it. So he had like kind of a built-in 40 million foot deer blind. He would camouflage his body, land in the ocean on the planet in question, and then use some kind of hologram system to disguise his head as an island, and then just observe for decades and decades and decades all these other planets.
Oh, I've played that game when I'm swimming at the lake with the family, where you just let your eyes above the water, and you are the island. One time I caught a minnow in my mouth, because I just waited long enough with my mouth open.
That is some legit crocodile shit, dude. What the fuck?
No, that's pretty normal boyhood stuff. I used to do things like that. One of my favorite things is like sitting by a creek and like just put your feet in the water and just let the little fish come and just peck at your feet. Like,
I did that too, obviously. Yeah. But
I thought I was like, how can I catch a minnow? And I bet if I left my mouth open long enough, like there's like got to be some food goodums in there. And yeah, and I caught one.
No cavities.
Ethan has
Did
a
you swallow?
No, I took it out with my hand. I was like, I got you, and then I let him go.
Yeah. Wait, what? You closed your mouth and got him?
Yeah. Full on caught the minnow, dude. Yeah.
Catching a minnow if he didn't close his mouth. Like, that's fair. Yeah.
Ethan, you have a fantastic photo of your brother pretending to drown you in a river.
I think it's probably still on my Facebook somewhere. But
yeah.
Not that I'm on Facebook anymore, but I was like, so we went to this river and I was like, okay, I have an idea for a Facebook background picture. And I was like, you're going to like drown me in the river, basically. It's my younger brother, but he's a big guy, much bigger than me. So I look at him right before we do it. I'm like, okay, I'll grab your ankle if I'm drowning, so just like, just go hard, like make it look real, like actually try and drown me. I'm actually gonna try and not get drowned, kind of thing. And so first he's like, okay, sure, and he just like slams my face into the water, but it was too shallow, and I just like face straight into the sand, like just like hitting like a soft for the first half inch, and then rock hard wall,
and
basically
clay, of course. Yeah.
And I popped it in the boys chat for Pete, since he hasn't seen it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Yeah, so for the listeners at home, Ethan is arguably the water is so shallow, I don't know why you did it here. You're barely wet. It's like up to Mackenzie's ankles.
So he was just hitting my face into sand, basically, for the photo, but
yep, very
fucking
good.
Hell, man. Holy shit.
That's me as Manatui.
As Matanui.
Matanui.
Matanui. Very good. Yeah, it was very good. Yes. So
this might top my Pathfinder episode last week for dumb bullshit fantasy names. So
yeah, I guess. I know. Every week it just gets worse until it's just 95 minutes of complete gibberish, and once in a while we cut each other off with a barely coherent joke.
I found a picture of us when we were in a core war. 17 too. Look how cute we were.
Wow.
Oh, look at your braces.
Yeah, I was a cute little boy.
I have no idea who that person we're with is, but
no. Yeah, who's this chick?
No idea.
No, either. There you go.
Cool.
Okay. It was
on the bonus episode. But.
Yeah.
I think that was part of the fun of the photos. We were just taking like a really intimately close photo with someone we didn't really know.
Very possibly.
So in regards to, so I guess when Matanui was taking unsolicited selfies with people he didn't know, he could land on a planet and observe and collect data. But he still needed the Red Star to take off again. So the Red Star and Matanui kind of went on this quest together. It was a boy and his dog, but it was
the sled dog, basically, was the Red Star.
Correct. Yeah, just like Call of the Wild, where Harrison Ford had to act alongside a guy in a mocap suit who was playing a dog.
I was gonna say, just like Ice Dogs with Cuba Gooding Jr.
Also that one, a fantastic documentary, I must say. Love it. Inside the body of the robot, so within what is called the shell of Matanui, were various islands, presumably to ensure that the caretakers of the robot could survive. So it had its own little ecosystems inside with robotic janitors and maintenance guys, basically. Yeah. It's like a 40 million foot tall robot cannot take care of itself. And if it gets a, 30,000 foot splinter jammed in one of the joints and it can't bend down anymore, that's going to be a problem. So you need need an entire civilization to
You need all the rooms because the union agreement states that they have to have a designated break area in there.
There would be a break peninsula built within the body of the robot.
Yeah.
A robot that big, there'd be like robots that would never meet each other. In that robot, it's so huge.
And the size of the Earth. So, absolutely yes.
Exactly. Imagine a complete stranger who lives on the other side of the planet that you will never interact with, and both of you will die having never known each other's names. It's basically like that.
Every robot's related within 6 degrees of circuitry or something. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We're related to all those people through Bray, but that doesn't change the fact that everybody that Bray knows, we will go to our graves not knowing who they are.
Exactly.
Why does because Bray has sex with everyone? Is that what? No.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
during his conquest of China.
Okay.
Yeah.
During his conquest of medieval China,
Eastern Turkey, man. I mean, come on.
Well, he recently got married. He settled down, though. He found the best one in the world. So yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was allegedly like two pilots that would like actually direct the robot. And the only trivia that I had like about these two guys was just like two pilots in the head were killed early on. How is unclear. I'm like, what? Like, okay, cool. Another mysterious Gregism.
Early Among Us. There's an imposter.
You're right. They did it first. Greg did it first.
Among Us is Bonkle.
after
Greg said so. Okay,
yeah, right. Greg said it. After Madanui left the planet, Spherus Magna was broken into three pieces in an event called the Shattering. This obviously killed most of the inhabitants of the planet. The majority of the survivors, however, ended up on the largest chunk called Barra Magna. It's kind of like a more of a deserty area, and Barra Magna is a very like Bonkle fake word. Like it kind of fits in with like Toa. I think Toa is taken from some culture, and Agori is like pseudo fake Greek. Like a lot of it is assembled from real languages and then just twisted a little bit to make it fantastical, from what I understand.
I mean, yeah, Magnus definitely means something, but it's also the name of the planet in some ways, right?
What's a Magna Carta? That's something.
Magna means
like
great.
Great map. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's means great. And what was it? It was Barra.
B-A-R-A. Yeah.
Barra meaning.
Okay.
Wiktionary. Noun, Barra, uncountable. Internet slang, so. A genre of homoerotic media, usually manga, and often pornographic, made by gay men for gay men in Japan.
Oh. Hell yeah, dude, let's go.
This is the great gay manga that we're hanging out
with. Oh, man.
The B is for Bionicle. Holy shit.
That was very awesome.
I guess the other less fun, less gay chunks of the planet, Aquamagna, which is the water one. And I don't really know. I know this is like a Swedish spa here in Montreal. Bota Magna, B-O-T-A, which was the jungle and ice one. It was a very interesting chunk of the planet. So
Bota is a leather bag made for wine. Spanish in origin.
Huh. There you go.
So that's the wine. The wine country, I guess.
I would love to. All things considered, I think they all sound kind of fun. But like, I'd start with wine country and see how brave I felt after.
I don't know. I feel pretty experimental right now. I had just the right amount of wine.
I've been on the chunk orbiting the fun part of the planet. Like, we'll go check it out.
Yeah. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from the great gay manga. You know. Yeah. Okay. Where are you from? I'm from the great water. Okay. Yeah. Where are you from?
I'm the great big wine.
Drunk as fuck, Bionicles.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Aqua Magna was the part of the planet that was housing the entire ocean, because of course the Spherus was a single continent and the rest of it was water.
Yep.
All of the ocean was launched into space during the Shattering. Nothing is known to live there, so I don't know if it's just too deep or all the fish ended up somewhere else or died out. And Bota Magna, like I said, was just jungle and polar ice caps, which is like a very interesting. Like, if you ever look at the island of Mata Nui, you can see, like, the environments have, like, very crazy, kind of strict borders. Mm-hmm. This one was, like, jungle with, like, ice, top and bottom, which is pretty cool.
Ice, jungle. Doon, 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 digga, doon, doon. Oh, no, wait, we can't do it. We can't do any more lines. We're going to get sued.
Oh, yeah. Whoops. Sorry. After about 98,000 years, Mata Nui had gathered enough information and began to head back and repair Sphera Magna. Some of the caretakers, of course, there was like cultures living inside of him now for 98,000 years. So like, obviously the politics inside the giant robot will have changed.
They're going to evolve for sure.
Some of the caretakers on board had created a cult around like a failsafe AI called the Makuta. And then they kind of turned this thing into the virus. Now, Makuta, in our previous episode, we know as kind of the main villain of Bionicle. Uh-oh. His origin is being a failsafe AI that was reprogrammed and uploaded into Mata Nui as a virus to take him over. Now, of course, data transfer within ancient robots that are 40 million feet tall is incredibly slow. So the upload took 300 years.
Okay.
That's actually, given the scale, that's all right, I feel like.
I'm fairly certain that, like, our internet travels at the speed of light, and I could probably, like, send Bray a file in, like, 4 minutes.
How do you reprogram the Earth, though? Imagine reprogramming the Earth. That's pretty big.
Oh, there's so much pasta. That's true. I never the pasta equation.
Yeah. We have fiber optic cables. Their internet travels at the speed of marinara because they have pasta. Spaghetti for cables, right?
How fast does sound even move through marinara versus air? You know, like marinara
is faster in marinara than it is through air. I'll tell you that.
faster in marinara. That's true. Okay. Faster through denser mediums.
Okay, that's counterintuitive, but yeah, now that you say it, that sounds right. Yeah, and you're taller than me, so I'll agree.
Exactly. I mean, the listeners know that. Clearly the tallest of us is right.
We're going to defer to height. Thank you.
Yep.
So with no more governing intelligence on board, the Makuta took over the entire body, and he imprisoned the Mata Nui within Ignika, which was the Mask of Life. So a lot of the mythology later on in Bionicle was based very much around masks of power. One of the first ones was the Mask of Life that was created within the body of the Mata Nui robot, and then ejected out of its chest into space, basically because, like, the Makuta, whatever, like, the only man who could defeat me, the only program who could undo my evil is this one, so I'm going to launch him into space and fuck him. 1,000 years of darkness, 1,000 years of slavery.
Exactly. Yeah. Surely this isn't the first step in a grand prophecy that will be my undoing.
Naturally. This mask would eventually be returned and worked on by Matoro, who is one of the Toa warriors. He is one of the Toas of ice, so one of the ice warriors.
What does a gay cow in a fedora say to another hot... Or what does a gay bull in a fedora say to another hot bull? Matoro.
I hadn't even finished thinking about the sentence before we got the answer.
Yeah. I mean, you blew up my spot with right on these nuts, so I gotta get them out quick now, man. Yeah, I never know when you're just gonna fucking get it right away.
Pretty good one, though. I like that.
Thank you.
By the way, like episode, someone was talking in general, and they said, like, I used to live in Pismo Beach. It was Commandeer Turtle. I said, Pismo Pants, got him. While recording the episode, still got to get those in. Yeah,
nice.
Always like with his right hand, he recordeth the episode. With his left hand, he trolleth general.
He dealeth judgment. Yeah.
So yeah, Matoro would one day be... I have no fucking idea when this happened, by the way. I don't know if this was retconned and did not figure it out. It seems as though this occurred either in the future or in a parallel universe to the Toa Mata thing that we talked about last time.
Okay.
Because Matoro in the old story is like a little villager guy who, like, it... is revealed used to be, like, he used to be one of the warriors, he used to be a Toa, and then reverted to, like, a little villager body when, like, the mantle of responsibility had been passed on, basically. In this one, where he retrieves the Mask of Life, he puts it on, and then willingly kills himself to transform into pure energy and, like, reboot the Mata Nui AI system, basically.
Okay, but it's,
no fucking idea when this happened, not gonna lie.
But is it inconceivable that, like, after the dust settled, the Mata Nui, like gave him his life again?
No, because we're coming towards the end here, and that is kind of what happened with a lot of this anyway. Regardless, putting on the mask, transformed into energy, like I said, and he revived Mata Nui, who Wi-Fi'd himself into the ruins, like the scattered ruins of the prototype robot, because of course they did not recycle the body.
2-7.
Exactly. So he's shorter, but he's wiser.
Elbow peak 2, back in the habit.
Yeah, the people's elbow peak straight down onto Makuta and just like from the ropes.
I mean, straight down onto Makuta. Straight down onto Makuta's knee, right? Like,
yeah, he's 13 million feet shorter, so it's not even
a significant height gap. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you go on Tinder, you post 27 million feet tall. No question, swipe right. Come on.
No, man.
So he's punching up his profile. You say 38 million. Yeah. He's wearing platforms, all his dates.
So. Oh, wait. Someone please make a Bionicle meme account on Twitter and see how you do.
Oh, on Tinder, you
on
mean?
Tinder, he means.
But... Yeah. Did I say Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tinder.
Yeah.
One of those. One of
them.
Yeah. I'm not on either, so yeah.
No, I mean, well, I mean, just wait till Elon buys Tinder. What a fucking shit show that's gonna be. Right. So Mata Nui, using his tiny short king body, fought Makuta, who was inhabiting his old body. Now the spirit robot Mata Nui's old body, the big one, the 40 million foot one, had the ability to control gravity. This would have been one of the tools that he was going to use to reconstruct the planet after its destruction. He kind of reaches out and gravitational pulls Aqua Magna towards him. But during the fight, it is deflected or it is dodged or whatever, and he ends up getting killed where the body of the Great Spirit Robot is hit in the back of the skull by a third of the planet, which crushes its core processor and kills, in quotes, the Makuta AI that is on board, basically.
No. Nice. Short-circuited.
It's so fucking cool, I have to say. That like robots that are millions of feet tall hitting each other in the skull with chunks of planets is a cool thing.
That is cool.
That they should have put in the fucking movie instead of giving Liwa, my favorite one, brain damage, is all I'm going to say. Yeah. Just hit him with the moon. So it killed the Makuta AI inside, and then the other fragments of the planet were all kind of sent hurtling back towards Barra Magna, the gay fragment. And then with his last bit of strength, Mata Nui, using the old prototype robot body, reassembled the planet and then shot out a shockwave to like release light or like reseed the planet with the life and the evolutionary information that he had gathered on other planets, as well as kind of ejecting the robots that had been living inside of him this entire time.
Wow.
So the caretakers that had not been taken into the Makuta cult, which was called the Brotherhood of Makuta, I believe, ended up coming out and repopulating the reformed Barra Magna planet, which is where the rest of everything kind of takes place. And then, eventually both the ruins of both robots were dismantled and were used in the construction of new civilizations. And that is the Bonkle that we know and love today.
Oh, very beautiful.
Cool. Yeah. Very cool.
Now they all live in peace and harmony, surfing on lava.
Yeah, it's easier now to get from the wine gardens to the gay bars, too.
Yeah.
Now that you don't have to go through the base. Yeah.
That's a truly evolved society.
Yeah.
I believe so, yeah.
So, I have been your host, Peter O'Donoghue. You can find me at Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram, or you can find my comic work at Squared Idea. Come check us out in July 2022. First week of July, I think it's the 7th to the 10th or something like that. We will be at Comic-Con, getting as much work as I can done on... The Old Black Frontier, which you can buy merch for over on our store, like I said at the top of the show. 50% off for the next 2 weeks. I'm just chilling work and t-shirts, man. What about you, boys?
You can support the show by leaving us a review, telling your friends about us, getting in touch with, you know, the President of the United States somehow and getting him to, you know, tweet out about us, or any world leader. Or, you know, even a celebrity or something would be pretty cool. If you get them tweet about Lore Boys, that'd be great. So we're counting on you guys this week. I mean, don't let us down, I guess. Jamie, did you have anything you wanted to add to that recommendation?
Hop in that Discord. Links in the description. This is where we're hanging out. There's like, I think they had a community night last night where they were playing a bunch of Deep Rock Galactic. Pete was hopping in and out of chat before I distracted him. Get in the Discord. That's where all the community stuff kind of happens. Even if you're not... Yeah, even if you just want to observe kind of thing, you can like get little tidbits about episodes before and after that the average lore person might not get. So you don't have to be so chatty if you don't want to be, but if you want to be, that's the place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
If you guys want to support the show, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys. Thanks so much to everybody who's supported the show over the years. Really, really, really means the world to us. I promise you, we're not, you know, the money that we get goes back into the show. We're not doing anything frivolous with that money, like leaving our mics on overnight and just wasting all that electricity. Like, it's a huge cost thing. So we never do anything like that. Don't worry about it. And of course, if you guys don't trust Patreon, we do have Loreboys Prime. Now, this week, we actually have a bit of a call to action for Loreboys Prime. We are kind of mired in a legal dispute between the Loreboys right now. So there is a defamation suit going on between Jamie, Peter, and myself. It's That's a right. three-way, which the courts don't normally allow. So we decided to do the judicial process in-house. But yeah, I mean, I've you know, claimed in the past that, you know, I was not being respected enough as the funniest, cutest lore boy, and that other unnamed parties were claiming to be either cuter and or funnier. So I'm leveling a lawsuit against the both of them.
I pooped in my own bed, and I'm blaming Peter and Ethan. So
that's where I'm objection, Your Honor. Short sick.
You wanted to say that. Oh man, I played right into it. God damn it.
I think that would cost you.
That's
the lore
a
boys.
Good one. That's a good set
of lore boys.
Lore boys.
Out. Oh man. Causing constant rain. I love that. That's not a creation.
You don't need that, you know, giant great worms, you know, carved out the earth and then so bestowed cool. intelligence on lesser bugs, which turned out to be this like terrible curse once the Radiant King overthrew them. And you
that's
don't
cool.
need that stuff.
No, that's cool. That's cool too. I couldn't think of even what the Hollow Knight creation myth was until you reminded me, actually.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.